Good morning. You awake this morning? Is everybody okay? You all good? It's good to see you all. So we're in August, aren't we? We're in August. Would you stand with me? Because here comes the teachings of Jesus himself. And Jesus is awesome. Anybody that can raise from the dead, you ought to listen to him. Because if he can raise from the dead, he might be smarter than you. Possibly, maybe, might be a little bit. You might want to maybe listen to him because he might have something that you will need to hear. So, Mark chapter 6, we've been swimming in this text. It's an amazing text. It's a little sliver in the ministry of Jesus. Mark 6, 30 to 32 says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, well done, you're burning yourself out. He said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. That's beautiful. The Tuesday before Jesus died, he said these words. It says in Matthew 24, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Anybody alarmed? Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these are the beginning of birth pains. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we receive your love that you've given to us and shown to us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, we celebrate the work of Christ upon the cross that makes us who we are today in the eyes of heaven. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the prophesied one, the Holy One, the one who bore our sins upon a cross. And by your stripes, we've been healed. By your blood, we've been justified and made righteous before a holy God. We love you. And we're so grateful. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as we gather in this place, that you would send your Spirit upon our hearts. We ask, Lord, that as you touch so many, you would touch our eyes this morning, that we might see, and that you would touch our ears, that we might hear what it is you wish to speak into our hearts. We come to worship you in spirit. We come to worship you in truth. And we pray all this for your glory and in your most holy name. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. It's good to, you all may be seated. It's good to be with you. So a few announcements. So this movie tonight is, I just want to learn, don't you? Does anybody want to just try to understand? So this is the discussion in the world we're living in today. Once of many is this topic of what's a woman. So there's a documentary. I encourage you to come tonight, and we just want to try to understand. So we'll get a chance to watch this. Starts at 5, goes about an hour and a half. If you want to bring dinner, that's cool. We'll bring the popcorn. So and we're going to be in the Family Life Center, building B, 1 through 4. And the cool thing about this, it's like when we were watching The Chosens over the summer. After we see it, we'll just get a chance to debrief together, and let's talk about this. As disciples, we're learners. Am I right? We are learners, right? Is everybody still learning and growing? I still am. So that's one. Hey, another thing, just want to let you guys know. So Pastor David has been our youth pastor here for 5 years. And he's been talking about doing church planting. Him and Lauren feel called to do church planting. God bless them. They've been talking with our conference and a couple other church planting agencies, and they are going to go and do this. So they're leaving at the end of the month to do church planting. And so Pastor David's been an awesome youth pastor. We love him and Lauren and his family, and I just never had the courage to do that, to be honest. God bless them. So our church that we're a part of a denomination called Converge, and we've grown from 1,300 churches to over 1,800 churches, and most of it's church plants, church planting. So we're part of a network of churches in America, and we're one of the only denominations that's growing, which is too bad. But so God bless these young. I'm old. You get these young kids that are ready to go conquer the world. So Pastor David and Lauren, while you be praying for them, and you know, we're in the process of transitioning. And okay, so how we have to? On my prayer is that not one of the youth kids that will lose one in the cracks between a shepherd going to do another work for the Lord and finding a new shepherd. So that's our journey. And just FYI, please be in prayer for them. And it's all cool. It happens. So those are just a few things that are going on and happening today. So how about this one? I'm going to ask you a question. How y'all doing? Y'all balance? Are you people of balance? When you analyze and look at yourself in the mirror, are you a balanced person? Are you stable? Are you steady? Are you upright? Or are you kind of out of balance? So Pastor Frank, as you know, went on a sabbatical. The board in January of this year said, Pastor Frank, been a tough 30 months. Has it? Does COVID seem like it was so long ago? Does anybody remember when you were trying to find toilet paper? You know, it's so funny. I was telling this. You know, it says in the book of Acts that that they were distributing food in Jerusalem in the early days of the Jesus ministry. During COVID, we had 1,800 rounds or 1,500 rounds of toilet paper, and our church was, we were passing out toilet paper. Like, do you remember those days, you guys? It's tough days. COVID. In the midst of that, the racial tensions in society. And then Ruth Ginsburg passed away, and the whole Supreme Court arguments unfolded in the elections of that year. And then cruising into, man, all of a sudden wars in Europe, inflation, Roe v. Wade, and on and on and on. Anyone? It's kind of wearying. So our church said, hey guys, we're not here to burn out our pastors. Pastor Frank, we want you to tell them all to go on a sabbatical. And by the way, you will be one of them. So I picked July. And had a good time with Jesus. My theme verse, as you know, was in Mark 6. I'm a geek. During my sabbatical, opened all these commentaries and just had fun picking when Jesus fed the 5,000 and working his way back. What did he When you read the Gospel of Mark and you see the ministry of Jesus, He fulfills all the prophecies, and he's healing and preaching and teaching. And through the first five chapters, it's off the charts. He's speaking to the wind, and it stops being windy. And he raises little girls from the dead, and he heals demoniacs and heals diseases and pestilence and lepers. And in Mark 6, he gives his disciples, on short terms, he gives them power and authority to go and do what he's doing, go out two by two. And after they come back, they are reporting to him all that they're doing. Read Mark chapter 6. And the beautiful thing is as Jesus is hearing their reports and the things they taught and all that they were doing, he was noticing that his disciples were out of balance, that there was the comings and goings of people to where they were not even eating. And it's beautiful when you read the text because it shows the heart of Jesus. That he sees this and says, no, it's time to pause. Pause. That means turn it off. You need to leave with all the insanity of what's going on in the world. Shut it down. And it says, Jesus says, come with me to a quiet place because I want to give you rest. Jesus wants all of you to be people of balance. Jesus wants all of you to be people that are restful. So I got my paycheck the other day. A little girl in our church, 7 years old, She loved that. Do you know why they call them cell phones, right? C-E-L-L. Because they hold us in prison. And this little girl went up to her mommy, who was on her phone, and she quoted Pastor Frank's sermon. And she says, "Mommy, you know these are, you know why they're called cell phones? You remember what Pastor Frank said?" And this little girl was telling her mom, "Please turn off the phone." Why? Because she wanted to be with her mom. Right? We need to pause. To me, when I look at the, I see Jesus just taking his disciples, putting them in a boat, taking them out on the water, leaving the needs of the world for a while and what's going on in the world and all the mess that's happening in the world. It's left there on the beach. It's on the shoreline. And he's out there with them. And I'm sure he fed them. I'm sure they maybe they took a nap. You know, I don't know what he was doing in their midst. But he gave them rest. And it's so beautiful. This has been my theme verse. And for me, I was doing lots of this and just trying to focus and spend time with Jesus and quiet places and walking on beaches and finding rest. You know, here's the deal. If you hang out with Jesus long enough, he will give you rest. If you hang out with him on a boat a little bit longer and you start just sitting there with the Lord for a while and meditating on him, he won't just give you rest, but he'll start giving you perspective about life. If you hang out with Jesus long enough, he'll start allowing you to see through different glasses about who you are. In his presence, you're changed. You get to see who you are in the presence of God. That was the sermon of last week. If you stay with that boat long enough and you hang out with Jesus, he will just give you perspective of yourself, but he'll give you perspective of the world, and he'll give you perspective of what's going on in the world through his eyes. If you hang out with him long enough, he'll give you glasses. When you see the world, how do you interpret the world? When you see what's going on with the bumper, when you see what's happening in the world, when you try to digest what we've just lived through in the last 30 months, many people said that we've been living in historic times in the last 30 months. I'm tired of living in historic times. Are you? For many of us, it's how do we interpret these things? How do you interpret these things? What glasses do you look through when you look at the world and when you turn on the news? It's cool. If you hang out with Jesus long enough, so you're floating in a boat with Jesus, yes? Who is that person floating in the boat with you? How many times did the apostles ever stop and just go, "I can't believe this is happening. My whole life has been changed by that man"? Who is the person sitting in the boat with them? "Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me." The prophecy of Messiah coming from the Jewish people of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all the way through. There's a promised of the prophesied one. Who is the person that's floating in the boat with Peter and James and John? He's the one that was, the scriptures spoke about his coming. Where was the prophesied one to be born? Say it real loud. Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, written 500 years before Jesus was born. Right? Where was he to be raised? Nazareth. Isaiah 7. Who is this one that's to come? Who was he? Son of God, the Messiah. The Messiah is the Son of God. Psalm 2, Hosea 11:1. How, when this person comes, how will he be born? What method of birth will he be born by? Anyone? Virgin birth. Virgin birth. Genesis 5:17, Isaiah 14. Who is this one floating in the boat on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples? Where does the scripture say that when Messiah comes, where will his ministry begin? Does anyone know? Where? The Sea of Galilee. Isaiah 9, written 700 years before Jesus, is on and 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 on. Take notes with me this morning. You hang out with Jesus. Take this one down. One of the benefits of spending time alone with Jesus is that he will give you perspective on the world. If you hang out with him long enough, he just won't give you rest physically and spiritually. He just won't give you perspective of like who you are in his presence. He'll give you perspective of the world. Because, and here's the cool part, the prophesied one, the scriptures are very clear about what the world would be like in the circumstances of his first coming. It is also very clear what the world will look like when he comes again. When he comes again. So here's the story. Jesus, from that boat, that was in the first year of his ministry, about 2 years later, he's in Jerusalem. And he's about 3 days from him hanging on a cross. And he was at the temple in Jerusalem, the second temple period, if you go to the land of Israel. Archaeologists call it that. The disciples were saying, these are amazing buildings of the temple and the gold. And Jesus tells them, this thing's going down. This whole temple is going to be destroyed. They were absolutely horrified. And they went out from the Golden Gate in Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley and up to the Mount of Olives. And they sat down and they said, when will this take place? And what is the signs of this and the signs of the end of the age or this coming of Messiah? And the cool thing is as they asked him this, he answered them. He answered them. Let me read the text again. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately because they were shocked. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Jesus, I'm not going to tell you. Actually, he says, I'll answer that. He says, watch out that nobody deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I'm Messiah, and will deceive many. And you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to that that you are not alarmed or shocked or surprised. Don't be alarmed at this. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations are going to rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there's going to be famines in the world, earthquakes in various places. And all these are birth pains. Birth pains. Has anyone seen, been a part of seeing a baby come into the world? Because it's beautiful, man. I've had the privilege 3 times of cutting a cord and being a part of watching my sons come into the world and rooting for my wife, who's amazing, right? There's one of those days, that's one of those days you're really glad you're a man and not a woman. And birth pains, I couldn't know that, I knew the babies were coming, man, but I couldn't give you the exact moment. When you see this beautiful thing of birth, of life taking place, and you know it's birth pains, it's contractions, it's this intensity, and it gets, FYI, I don't know if you've ever been a part of this, but it gets more intense and more crazy before the baby comes. And Jesus says, that's how the world's going to look like, and these are the contractions, and this is what's going to be happening in the world. So I want you to take notes of me this morning, because this is a FYI, check this out. Take this note number 2. Jesus says the world will be worse before he returns and not better. Worse before he returns and not better. Isn't that a bummer? Worse. I love Star Trek. And God bless Gene Roddenberry. I'm a closet Trekkie. So is Pastor Vince. And Josh is too. He had his own landing party for a while, right? Yes. God bless Gene Roddenberry, okay? In his worldview, that when you Star Trek is is that humanity figures it out and we stop all wars on planet Earth and we stop all famine, and all of a sudden we humans evolve into this place where we're one big happy united federation of planets. Jesus says that that's science fiction. And it is, isn't it? Look around. Jesus says that there'll be an increase of false religious teachers in the world. Jesus said this in 70 AD. And no, he said it in 32 AD. By the way, what he said was going to happen to the temple happened in 70 AD. Are there many, since Jesus said these words in 32 AD, has there been a plethora of false religious teachers deceiving many people? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Anyone? So, hey guys, I love Muslims. Love Muslims. I don't love Islam. And I don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad. Neither does Jesus. Jesus would say he's a false prophet. Only 1.8 billion people follow him today. I love Mormons. Love them. I don't love Mormonism. And I don't believe in their prophet, Joseph Smith. This Jesus would call him a false prophet. 16 million, I believe, or 19 million following and growing. And on and on and on. He just says that with this comes deception in the world. People telling you about God that isn't true. Take notes of me this morning. What Jesus says is that the world's not going to be one big happy federation of planets. It's actually going to be a mess when he returns. Jesus says there'll be an increase of false religious teachers. Are they? Are they here? Should we be surprised? How about wars? Wars. Did you know that more people was killed in war in the 20th century than in all previous wars of the last three millennia? In the last 100 years, more human beings died because of war than in the last 3,000 years. How's that for a birth pain? And here we are, we're 22 years into the 21st century. We're 22 years in the 21st century. And we already have another war in Europe between Russia and the Ukraine. A new Cold War is developing as we speak with the nuclear powers of Russia and China and Iran and North Korea, Korea on one side and the Western European nations of America on the other. Anyone have any ideas what might happen if China invades Taiwan between now and Christmas? Anyone? Will the United States and China get into a military confrontation? Any idea what the loss of life would look like if that was to happen? Especially if there was a nuclear exchange? There was an article in USA Today this week that said they estimated that if the United States and Russia entered into a nuclear exchange, that the life on planet Earth would be just over 5 billion. That's a pretty impressive birth pain, wouldn't you say? Anyone? That would be a significant birth pain. Note number 4. Jesus says there'll be an increase of wars. It has happened, it is happening, and it's going to happen. Are you surprised? When will these things take place, Lord? This is shocking. Well, let me tell you, son, there's going to be an increase of false religious teachers. There's going to be an increase of wars. There's going to be an increase of earthquakes. Are earthquakes up or down? Anyone? This is interesting. Did you know that planet Earth is now experiencing 55 earthquakes a day? that planet Earth is experiencing 20,000 earthquakes a year. Did you know that? Note number 5, Jesus says there'll be an increase of earthquakes. It has and it is happening, just as Jesus said the world would be. How about famines? Has there been an increase of famines since 32 AD? How many millions of human beings have died because they didn't have enough food? Anybody have any guesses what would look like? I mean, already Ukraine is called the breadbasket of Europe. They're already talking about massive famines in places like Africa that relies so heavily on the Ukraine and the fertile soils. And now because of war, famines. Jesus said these things would take place. So during my sabbatical, I spent some time hanging out with Jesus on this, the Mount of Olives and just listening to his teaching. The teaching of Matthew chapter 24, the parallel one is Luke 21. And synoptic means you read them together. You're supposed to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke together because you'll get a fuller picture. And when you read Luke 21:11, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places. Fearful events and great signs from heaven. Pestilence. Do you know what the Greek word for pestilence means? Contagious disease. Jesus says that there'll be contagious diseases increasing as birth pains. Pestilence or plague. Interesting. When you go read the Jerusalem Post in the first years of 2020, they called COVID-19 a plague in the Hebrew. Okay, so check this out. 100 years ago, there was a thing called the Spanish flu, and 50 million were killed. Did y'all know that? The influenza of 1957 and 58 killed between 1 to 4 million people. The Hong Kong flu of 68 to 69 killed 1 million people in the world and 100,000 in the United States. Swine flu of 2009 and 2010 killed 248,000. And now COVID-19, 590 million infected and over 6 million deaths. Birth pain? Anyone surprised? Take notes of me. Jesus says there'll be an increase of contagious diseases, plagues, pestilence. He calls them birth pains, growing with intensity. Are they happening? How did he know? Good guess? Who's the one floating in the boat with them? The prophesied one. If anybody could raise from the dead, you should probably listen to them because they might be smarter than you. You should listen to them. How did he know? You pause with Jesus. Turn off the world. You go to a quiet place. Let him give you some rest, a little balance. He'll begin speaking into your life. He'll tell you who you are in the eyes of heaven. And FYI, that is who you are. Sermon of last week. If you hang out with him long enough in that boat, he'll give you perspective of what's going on the shore and what's happening in the world. And he'll tell you what's going to happen in the future and what the world's going to look like when he returns. So here's a verse that I've been meditating on. It's been bumming me out. It's Matthew 24:12. This is the one I've been not reading, meditating on, stirring in. When Jesus speaks of these days, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. There will be an increase of wickedness in the world. Because of this, the love of human beings will grow cold. And me being the geek, I began trying to say, what kind of wickedness is Jesus talking about? Wickedness. Define that for me, Jesus. What do you mean by that? Commentaries open, studying the teachings of Jesus on Tuesday before his death. And you look over there in Luke chapter 17, a Pharisee came up to him and asked him about when was the Son of Man coming. And then when you read that text, once he got alone with his disciples, he said, when the Son of Man comes, it will be swift, as in the days of Noah. Has anyone heard of Noah? Anyone? Does anyone know what the world looked like when God judged the world? Noah. Jesus told his disciples that when I come, it will be swift, as in the days of Noah or in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Interesting. So in the Jewish mind, the generation of Noah is seen as a generation of great wickedness of violence. Violence. In the Jewish mind, Sodom and Gomorrah is known as a generation of great wickedness of sexual perversion. And when God judges those, this is the conditions, great violence and great sexual perversion in the days of past judgments. And as they ask Jesus, when you come, it'll be like the quickness of when God judges wickedness. When Jesus speaks of wickedness, he speaks of wickedness of great violence, the days of Noah, and great sexual perversion is the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are these happening in our time? Is there an increase of violence happening in the world? Is there an increase of sexual perversion happening in the world in the eyes of God? Anyone? He says there's going to be an increase. So write this down. Note number 7. Jesus says there'll be an increase of wickedness and a decrease of love. A decrease of love. A love. Love. The love of people will grow cold. The love for one another on planet Earth will decrease. Is that happening? When you turn on the news, do you find that people are more loving? Or less. When you watch social media, do you find that it's just one big happy federation of planets? And all humanity just loves one another and is kind and anyone? So here's the sad thing, is that Jesus called this guy named Paul, his Hebrew name Saul, Rabbi Saul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul expands on what do you mean that the world's not going to be as loving? Well, what does that look like? And Paul describes it in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And I want to read this just really slow. And as I read this, I need you to just think with me, brothers and sisters. Try to reflect. Is this going on in the world? But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Last days, coming of Jesus, last days, okay? People will be lovers of themselves, selfish, eyes on them, don't care about other people. Can you imagine a whole generation on planet Earth where it's just all they love is themselves? They're selfish off the charts. Lovers of money, that's right? They don't love people, they love stuff. Stuff's more important than money. They're boastful in speech. Can you imagine people just boastful? Proud. Goes with boastful, doesn't it? Proud means I'm showing myself superior to you. boastful and proud. I look down on everybody. Is that happening in our world? Abusive in language. Abusive. Abusive. Just mean in words. Is that happening on social media? Anyone? Man, we've never been given more of an opportunity in the generation that we're living in where all humanity has a voice. It's all in their phones, right? It's all in Facebook. And man, we get now to, people get a chance to really let people know what they're thinking. So, you know, and when I grew up, in junior high, playgrounds was a tough place. If I told my buddy what I thought of him, he'd let me have it. He'd punch me in the face. How many fights have I been in as little boys? Man, when you can do it for long distance, I don't care. Abusive in language. Abusive. With really no penalty, right? I mean, at least physically. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful for what they have. They've been given so much and they don't even see it. Unholy. Without love, the Bible says. Without love. They're unforgiving. Man, you hurt me, you're done. There's just unforgiveness. They're slanderous. Man, I'll rip you and tear you to pieces. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. That means they're violent. They're not tame. They're savage. They're not lovers of good. Actually, they hate what is good, FYI. Whatever good, they hate it. Treacherous. Traitorous. They're betrayers. They're rash. You know what the word rash means? It means you just fall forward. It means you're so rash that you're willing to jump into anything. There's no critical thought. Nobody thinks. They're just rash. They just, that sounds good, and they just walk right off the cliff. No critical thought. Nobody thinking anything through. Rash. Conceited. A very high view of who they are. I'm just conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, right? They put the self in the place of God as the center of their affections. Can you imagine a generation like this? Having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people, Paul says. Does any of that text sound familiar? Is this happening today? See, my brothers and sisters, these conditions have always been present in all of humanity, but have they gotten more intensive in our day? This text was written 3,000 years ago, but it was written for a specific time in human history where a certain generation, just like the generations of Noah or the generations of Sodom and Gomorrah, a certain generation will exist on planet Earth. This will be what they are like. Is this stuff growing in intensity? And what's so fascinating when you study this, they're religious. They're religious. Everything I just read to you, but on top of it all, they're religious. I'm a morally good person. Oh no, my God wouldn't do that. They're religious in a sense, creating their own religion, creating what is good and what is evil. Creating or twisting or reversing the values of God, of the one true God, in the midst of their love of self. And it's so amazing because there's a time when God judged His own people. Many times God judged His own people. And in Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied more about Jesus than any other prophet, in Isaiah 5, as God was judging His people, He says, "Woe to those," Isaiah 5, 20 through 21, "woe to those who call evil good." They twisted. God says this is evil. And He goes, no, that's good. Woe to those who call evil good and who call good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own stupid thinking. Can I just throw that in myself? Because a fool is one who's denied God. Can you imagine a whole generation that just denies the Creator? And once the Creator's gone, I guess I live the way I want to. And I will create my own morality. I will create my own what is right and what is wrong, what is darkness and what is light. I will create what I want to. It's called chaos. Imagine a generation that hate good and redefine what good is. See, God, when He sees this, the word is woe. It means judgment. Woe to you. What that means is God's coming. He's coming. Conditions like this, God's patience runs thin. Jesus is an incredibly patient person. Thanks, Pastor Frank, for that message. Now I'm really depressed. When you hear all that, you have a balance just hearing it? Does that bum you out? Are you out of balance? And you see the world. Does the world do this to you? The last 30 months, did COVID do this to you? Did to me. The racial violence in the country, the political divisions in this land, the lack of civility, war in Europe. Inflation, economy. Did you guys notice how much it costs for price of gas? Does anyone notice how much it costs now to eat? Does that do this to you? Balance? Out of balance? How about physically, emotionally, spiritually? So Pastor Frank went on a sabbatical. And my theme verse was Mark chapter 6. I pray that you guys would go on a boat. Jesus doesn't want any of you to be out of balance. You spend time alone with Him, He'll give you rest for your soul, rest for your body. The most spiritual thing sometimes we can do is take a nap. You need to turn off the phone. We're all addicted to screens. And what's coming in on that phone is just stressing you out. And by the way, by you being addicted to that screen, you're missing what life is actually happening because life's outside the screen. You need to pause. You need to turn it off. You need to go to a quiet place. I shared this, so my favorite quiet place is walking on the beach. When I was a brand new believer in Jesus and I moved down to Dana Point, I just jogged with Him many times at Strands, great surf spot, a lot of lefts. Backside to me because I'm not goofy. I'm a regular footer. Anyway, surfer. So I was at the beach, man, on Monday. These dolphins came by. It was so beautiful. Just right on shore. Everybody's running and just taking pictures. To me, my quiet place is I go on the beach. I've always done this as a brand new follower of Jesus. I'd watch sunsets and I'd walk with Him. Every time, that footprints in the sand, this is my quiet place. I don't know, where's your quiet place? When you get away with Yeshua, the Messiah, and you go spend time with Him, He'll give you rest. And He'll give you rest for your soul. For me personally, is during my quiet time, during my sabbatical, I'm walking on the beach and I'm talking with the one in the boat. And I inform the Messiah, Jesus, the world's a mess. I just heard Him in my spirit saying, are you surprised? Doesn't He say, do not be alarmed? He tells His disciples, okay, I'll let you know, this is what's happening, don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. I'm walking on the beach, I'm trying to process the last 30 months. I'm trying to rest in His presence, I'm trying to find perspective. Have you ever had conversations with the Lord on how messed up the world is? I had one of those. And I could just feel Him telling me, Frankie, why are you surprised? I told you in advance these things are going to happen. What do you expect, Star Trek? Then it happened until the king returns. When the king returns, then there'll be Star Trek. Once the king returns, and then there'll be peace on earth and the end of all wars. Once Messiah returns, the prophesied one will come again. Why are you surprised, Frank? You're right, Lord. But Lord, these last months are hard. Yeah, I know. I don't like it. I neither do I. I'm patient, not wanting any to perish and all to come to repentance. 2 Peter. Last note. Seeing what's going on in the world through the eyes of Jesus will help you stay in balance. Do you understand? Without seeing the world through the eyes of Jesus, you're going to be out of balance. Can you please put on the glasses of Jesus and look through the world? Does anyone wear glasses? Do you know what it's like when you put on glasses? It's just more clarity. When you put on glasses, let Jesus help you see what's going on in the world. He will give you perspective. And when he does this to you, he says, don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. I've told you this is going to happen. When you read the text, read Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Go for it. Swim in that text with Jesus. Go on a boat and ask him to help you interpret what's going on in the world. He'll tell you, be alert. Don't be alarmed. I got this. He's in control, even in chaos. He permits it. Great verse. Okay, you're in a boat with the Lord, aren't you? You've been there long enough. You've turned off your phone. He's given you physical rest. He's given you spiritual rest. He's speaking into your heart of who you are in his eyes. Right? You're there, aren't you? You're a child of God. You're holy and blameless in Christ. For all those that are in Christ, this is who you are. Those of you that aren't in Christ, it's not who you are. God's opposed to you. He's morally offended by you. He can't stay with you. His judgment's on you because he's holy. I was just praying today, thank you, Jesus, for taking justice on you and took it off of me. Anybody a liar in here? Every person that's lied, raise your hand. Okay, everybody who's never lied, raise your hand. You're a liar. God comes down, Moses, Ten Commandments. Has anybody in here never stolen anything? 2 years old, stole your buddy's matchbox car? Anyone? That was me. I was 5 and I'm already a thief. You know who I am in the eyes of a holy God? A lion thief. That's 2 out of 10. The Ten Commandments doesn't justify any of you. It's helping you. It's like a diagnosis machine. Man, you're not feeling well. Oh my gosh, you have cancer. The scriptures it helps you see who you are in the eyes of God. It doesn't justify anybody. It makes us all guilty and holy before God. That's the bad news. See, if you're not if you haven't accepted Jesus, that's not who you are. In Christ, you're a child of God. In Christ, you've been forgiven. He took justice on him, so you didn't have to do it. Do you understand? If you're guilty of a law, if you've broken a law, and the judge just says, I'll let you go. Is that a good judge? That's a terrible judge. The judge there is to uphold the law. All of us has broken God's moral law in word, action, thought, and deed. And God is holy and righteous to where he pays for your sin on the cross. Do you understand? For all of us in Christ, you're holy and blameless because of him. Outside of him, the wrath of God abides upon you, the scripture says. And he doesn't, You've got to step over the body of Jesus, the person of Christ, in order for you to go to a Christless eternity. Don't do it. I'll take my chances. That's a bad bet. Gambling with your soul. Gambling with something you can't afford to lose. When you sit in a boat long enough with the Messiah, in Him, He'll tell you who you are in His presence. That you are dearly loved, forgiven, holy, blameless, adopted child of the Almighty God. He will reveal to you family secrets, mysteries like the last days. He gives this to His children. You hang out with the Messiah long enough, He'll give you physical rest and spiritual rest. He'll speak perspective into your life of who you are and what's happening in the world. And here's the beautiful verse. This is a great verse for you to go walk with Jesus on the beach today. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. Shalom. Peace. My peace, my shalom, I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. No kidding. Does anyone get peace from the world? You turn on the news and go, oh, I'm so peaceful. Here it is. Go walk with the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. That calms me down. Doesn't that calm you down? Man, I look at the world. Yeah, I know. Let me give you my peace. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Anybody afraid? Are you going to be afraid? The last 30 months has been crazy. We've been living in historic times. I'm tired of living in historic times. Did you know that the Almighty God wants you to have balance in your life? Did you know that as God looks at you today, He actually cares about you completely and totally? If you're burning yourself out, if you're wound up so tight that you're about ready to explode, He looks at you and He says, I'm not good with that, and I want my disciple to find balance in life. If that's you, you need to go have a little sabbatical with Jesus. It's important that you do it, and I've taught on how you can do it, right? Listen to this series we're doing on pause. I'm trying to help you understand that this is the heart of Messiah for you, and it's important for you to be people of balance. And I've taught you some ways in which you can actually do this now with Him in the 21st century, and it completely works. Do I look more refreshed? Because I am. Do I look renewed? Because I am. I just, you know, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You wait upon the Lord, He'll speak into your heart. See, what you need is Him right now. He's in control. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. I pray, Lord God, that they can just picture themselves on a boat with You. And as they're floating there, Lord, may You just speak into their hearts of who they are in Your eyes. And Lord, as they worry, as we worry about what's going on in the world, may You just speak into our hearts once again. God, may You help all of us in this room not be afraid. Help us, Lord, to be alert and don't be alarmed. Help us to recognize, God, that You're in control. And if you're not worried, then we shouldn't be either, because You hold us in the palm of Your hand. You're the good shepherd. You're the one that watches over His flock. You're the one that guards us, protects us, teaches us, guides us, and leads us from this day on into eternity. Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here. God, help us all to find balance in these days in which we're living. In Your presence, we ask this now in Your most holy name. And all those that love Jesus would say what? You guys want to sing a great song called In Control? Why don't we pray this song? Let's stand and sing.